My goodness, did you see Letitia James over the weekend? I can't wait to show you this, guys. But mostly, I'm just really disturbed by the reaction of city officials. Because take your pick. It feels kind of fascist, totalitarian, authoritarian, you name it. City officials don't like that, well, the firefighters don't really like Letitia James. This is the woman who's trying to bankrupt Trump. We're all over that story. Plus, what the heck is going on with Biden apologizing because of some of the words that he used in the State of the Union? We're going to cover that for you. Meanwhile, things are getting kind of ugly over at Disney. Bob Iger versus Nelson Peltz, the activist investor who thinks that Disney is not doing a really good job. There's no creativity. They keep coming out with sequels or prequels. None of it's really working. And he's like, hey, guys, come on. So we're going to go inside that whole scandal, that drama. Bob Iger, I don't know. That stock price not looking so hot over at Disney. And, well, Donald Trump was on CNBC just a short time ago making some really valid points that I think Whoopi Goldberg is going to have a problem with. She works for Disney, at least now. For now, I should say. Welcome to the show. I hope you had a terrific weekend, everyone. I am Trish Regan. This is the Trish Regan Show. We're brought to you in part, as always, by our great friends over at LegacyPMInvestments.com. Charles Thorngren and company over there, LegacyPMInvestments.com, 1-866-589-0560. You know how worried I've been about inflation? Rightly so, under the circumstances, up 18%. Well, these are the guys that can help you diversify your portfolio, maybe with a little bit of gold. Maybe some silver if you're a betting woman or man like me. Anyway, they can help you out over at LegacyPMInvestments.com. Again, 1-866-589-0560. So Letitia James, who is just hellbent on somehow finding a way to bankrupt the former president of the United States, what is the tally up to? Upwards of $500 million. Keep in mind that's $500 million that she's trying to collect from him before he takes his court. He's already filed for appeal to the appellate court. She's demanding all this money and not happy with the $100 million he offered her. It's really unusual. I mean, the whole case is absolutely bizarre. And we can get to that. But before we do, I want to show you what happened over the weekend because the firefighters in New York City, they're not really on board with what Letitia is doing. Let's be really clear. Watch this clip from the weekend. She was there to give a speech. It was an award ceremony, and they kind of nearly booed her off the stage.
Oh, come on, we're in a house of God. First, simmer down. I want to thank Commissioner Kavanaugh and Chief Hodgins for that recognition.
Did you hear them yelling in the back? Did you hear what that was? They started chanting Trump, 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 Trump. In other words, Letitia, the firefighters, they ain't with you. Police aren't either. Most of America is not with you on this. This is why he keeps going up in the polls every single time they fire another lawsuit or there's a new wrinkle in whatever comes out as far as these courts go. America's looking at this saying, whoa, since when did Letitia James, a prosecutor elected by people, I guess, who just wanted to get Trump, because that's what she campaigned on. Don't forget how many times we have to listen to that. I mean, she's like, I'm going to get him. How is it that our courts have been so highly politicized that a woman like this promises she's going to get him, and now it looks like she's really trying to get him? I mean, hopefully the appellate court steps in soon. They can't get in there soon enough. But I want to show you here what the response was from city officials, because those firefighters are kind of in a little bit of trouble. Take a look at this. Oh, my goodness, ladies and gentlemen. This is not good to see. It really is not, because it smacks of this kind of fascist, authoritarian-style regime. They're saying, basically, that the behavior we saw and heard was grossly inappropriate. Protesting, heckling, booing anyone at a ceremony is simply unacceptable. And so she's going through with her people saying, you know what? The attorney general should not be treated like this. And so now she wants D.C. to visit each firehouse that had a member promoted and relay this bullet message that you saw there on the screen. She wants, get a load of this, members to come forward, firefighters to come forward to say whether or not other members of the fire department have engaged in this. Oh my gosh, quote, everyone must be better, do the right thing. Even if you aren't the one acting poorly, if you see a fellow firefighter acting in this manner, stop it. Act in a manner befitting the uniform that you wear. Nothing else and nothing less should be tolerated. So in other words, you can't have a political opinion if you're a firefighter in your right now. I get it. I get why they're upset with her, because they're like, hey, lady, this right. What you did is just not right. Who are you to decide how much Mar-a-Lago is worth? Really and truly. I mean, if suddenly politicians, I call her a politician. I mean, she's an attorney, but she's really a politician. Let's not forget, this is an elected position. And she was elected and ran on this whole idea that she was going to get Trump. Frightening stuff. Really, very banana republic-esque. I mean, he said that multiple times, but I'll double down on that, because this is, of all the cases, one that I just find, I mean, they're all atrocious, but this is really pretty darn despicable when you see it. I mean, really just outrageous. Remember, I mean, think about it. If you say, oh, I think my house is worth $200,000, and then you get a loan, call it a home equity line of credit. I mean, I'm reducing this, and it's not a perfect analogy, but let's just try and go at a consumer level. And then, Letitia James and her company decide to come out of the woodwork and say, no, you shouldn't have gotten that home equity line of credit, because we don't think your house is worth that much. We think it's only worth this. And so despite the fact that the bank did its due diligence and decided what they thought it was worth, and they were willing to give you that loan, and even if you pay it back, et cetera, you're vulnerable to politicians who want to dispute the value of your property? I mean, this is really nutty stuff. And then you consider what just went down right here in New York City, where you can't express your personal opinion on a Friday night or Saturday night. I guess if you're in the uniform, you're no longer allowed to have a political opinion. I mean, she's allowed to have a political opinion. Let's be very clear. I mean, she doesn't get to wear a uniform, but she's in her little suit jacket and she's up there and she's giving us her political opinion all day long. That's all we hear from Letitia James, her political opinion. Constantly. And yet, God forbid, the hardworking firefighters that are saving people's lives, literally saving people's lives every day, they have an opinion about her, but they're not allowed to express it. It seems kind of like a violation of one's First Amendment. Really? I mean, hey, isn't the former Disney actress, Gina Carano, isn't she suing Disney for exactly this reason, because she had a political opinion that she tried to express? Elon Musk is backing her, by the way, and giving her the firepower to do this, i.e. the money. So she's suing Disney for wrongful termination because she didn't want to put her pronouns on her Twitter page and wound up getting fired because she had an opinion. And state law in California allows you to have those opinions. I mean, just because you're a firefighter doesn't mean you're not a human being with some opinions. And guess what? The firefighters don't like you, Letitia. Somehow that doesn't surprise me, not one single bit. Again, welcome to the program. I see so many of you tuning in live. I love it. It's great to have you here. Join the conversation. I'm going to get to some of your comments in a moment, but we got a lot going on. This is a fast-paced show. Fast-paced times, right? Donald Trump. Democrats don't want him on any intelligence briefings, despite the fact that he is going to be the GOP nominee for the presidency. You know, the idea here is, traditionally, we've always clued in whoever's running for president on whatever's happening behind the scenes with intelligence. And the thinking on that has been because you want them to hit the ground running as soon as they come into the office. And so this that's been done and always been done, but because the Democrats are trying to paint Donald Trump as such a horrific, horrible person that somehow is going to take us in a direction from which we can never recover, they don't want him to have any access to to the intelligence documents. And by the way, just saying this, by the way, they think helps their cause. I don't think so. I think it once again shows who's really trying to destroy the country that we're living in right now. And it's not conservatives. It's not Donald Trump. It's the Adam Schiffs of the world that have been selling us a whole bunch of lies for how long now? Here he is, the star of the Schiff Show, back on TV, if you can stand it. I watch this stuff so you don't have to. All right, Adam Schiff saying no intel docs for Trump.
Congressman, let me ask you about this development this weekend. U.S. intelligence officials are planning to provide briefings for Donald Trump if he officially secures the nomination, despite the fact that he's facing 40 felony charges for his handling of classified documents. As the former chair of the House Intelligence Committee, do you think it's appropriate for him to receive intelligence briefings?
Well, that is the practice, but we've never had a situation where one of the candidates for president has been so criminally negligent when it comes to handling, if not worse, when it comes to handling classified information. So I have to hope, and knowing the intelligence community as I do, that they will dumb down the briefing for Donald Trump. That is, they will give him no more information than absolutely necessary, nothing that would reveal sources or methods. Because we can't trust that he will do the right thing with that information. He's been so reckless. So, yes, it does concern me. It is part of a long tradition. They will be wary of what they should.
Wow. I hate to remind you of this, Adam, but Biden did the same thing. Okay? Biden did the exact same thing. I mean, he kept them in that secure location in his garage next to his Corvette, as he reminded us over and over and over again. Locked up right next to the Corvette. Oh, and I guess they found some, too, at his Penn Study Center. You know, he had this think tank for University of Pennsylvania. All kinds of foreign money flowing into that thing. And, oh, they found some of those documents there, too. But, of course, nobody's moving forward with the prosecution on that because the thinking was no jury would convict him because he just seems like a feeble old man who can't remember anything. Can't remember, like, anything. He was actually doing an appearance again today, and he just got stopped, like, dead in his tracks. Drew, I don't know if we have that video. If we do, maybe show me in preview. I sent it over, but we didn't. I didn't put it in the rundown, but I'm just telling you guys, you know what? He was up there. I think this was in Manchester, New Hampshire today. We do have some stuff of him talking later, but he just stopped dead in his tracks, a deer in a headlight. And it's like, wait, what happened? No more coffee today? Or who knows?
What tremendous else? Amount of things you can say.
Here it is. I think that Drew has it for you, so take a listen.
Tremendous amount of things you can cut. Maybe precise. Tremendous amount of things you can do, not cut. He said, but the bottom line is, he's still at it.
Oh, you know, I don't love saying that because, again, he's the president of the United States, but I don't know how the heck they're going to run this guy. I really don't, given the feeble condition that he's in. But Adam Schiff, just remember that, okay? So Biden did the same stuff. Biden did the exact same stuff, and yet, he's not getting prosecuted because he's not swift enough to actually seem like he knew what he was doing. That was the conclusion. I mean, he's angry about it, of course. But it's clear that Biden is struggling. Let's watch it one more time. Biden is struggling. It's very, very clear. So I don't know how the Democrats run him. I don't know how you put up a guy. He got through the State of the Union together. We don't know how. Somehow, some way. Few naps and a lot of coffee and who knows what else, but he got through the State of the Union somehow, some way, but he can't do it on a regular basis. And so I don't see how they're going to run him. I mean, it would be a disaster to see him debating against Trump, a real disaster. Let's watch again, Manchester, New Hampshire.
Tremendous amount of things you can cut. Maybe precise. Tremendous amount of things you can do, not cut. He said, But the bottom line is, he's still at it.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. So here's the thought. And I was talking to somebody in the know earlier today, and there's a thinking out there that they can't run him. I mean, I've said all along, how do they run him? I mean, how the heck do you run this guy? They should have primaried Jimmy Carter, right? And we wouldn't have had Reagan, unfortunately, but they should have primaried Jimmy Carter and this guy. They totally should have primaried. The problem is they can't. They can't. And we've talked about this before. I'm like, you know what? It's like an elderly person and you're trying to take away the keys. You're trying to take away their car keys. And even though they're declining and suffering perhaps from dementia, again, I'm not a doctor, so these are just some allegations that have been out there. I have known, unfortunately, people with dementia close to me in my life, and there are some similarities that you might be, you know, connecting the dots on. But I'm not a doctor, so I can't give you my medical opinion. I can just say it doesn't quite seem like he's all there. So how do they run him? Really? I mean, a party that is this hungry politically, that is this sort of conniving politically, how are they going to put this guy up there? Maybe they don't. I mean, ultimately, maybe that's in fact what happens. Maybe they don't. You can't give it to Kamala, let's be honest, because Kamala's not going to win anything, right? Kamala versus Donald Trump, he wins that trade all day long. I mean, he wins against Biden, too. This is why I'm saying they got to do something different. So think about it, ladies and gentlemen, and think about whether or not there is perhaps anything there to what Ted Cruz has advanced, this idea that maybe Michelle Obama comes in. Look, Sotomayor on the Supreme Court has not been feeling so well, and she's had to travel most recently with a medic on many occasions. And so maybe she says, okay, I step down, and you give Kamala the Supreme Court seat. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Yeah, but that helps her to save face, does it not? So she goes over to the Supreme Court, because you can't run her, and then you make way for somebody else. You still have to give it to a black woman, because if not, that whole base, right, is going to be really upset. Wait a second. You know, we had a black woman who was in line. So she'd have to willingly go away over to the Supreme Court. They could cut that deal and then usher in Michelle Obama. Now, a lot of people said, no, it can't happen. It's too late because of what goes on there at the DNC. But it turns out, if you look at the fine print, once all the delegate votes come in, he's got the final say. As president and as effectively the head of the DNC, he's got the final say on who is really going to run. So he would have the ability to check himself out. Again, I say, well, why would he do it, right? Why would you? I mean, he's got the keys to the kingdom. He's older. He doesn't like that they're making these accusations about his age and his health. So why would he willingly do that unless maybe they have started to find some other stuff on Hunter? So this is all just, you know, interesting talk. We'll see whether or not any of it comes to fruition. It may not, in which case I'll just sit there and say, wow, like, you guys, you really, really screwed up. Like, you can't run this guy. I mean, you just absolutely cannot run this guy. And I will be shocked if he makes it to the finish line for 2024. But simultaneously, I don't think that Michelle Obama is any kind of slam dunk. The good thing for them is that maybe she won't have a ton of exposure, because if she had been out there on the campaign trail for the last year, I think people would tire of her more quickly than they will if she just has a short window. We shall see, but I have a feeling this is going to get a whole lot more interesting, is it not? But I'll tell you this, I mean, don't forget how important it is to keep the policies in mind, the policies that matter, because any way you slice it, this has not been a good 3 years. I mean, inflation up 18%. A lot of that has to do with higher food and energy costs. And then you look at rents, which are upwards of 20% higher. You look at mortgages that are up 66%. Joe Biden thinks that the answer to this is just to give more money away. We're going to get to that because he debuted his big, big, you know, free-for-all with his budget plan that is absolutely positively a joke. But I want to give first a shout-out to my friends over at Americans for Prosperity. AFP, AmericansForProsperity.org. Go over to this website, check it out. There's a ton of resources there for you. These people are committed, and I mean committed, to making sure that we have the right policies to prevent inflation in our economy, to prevent ourselves from being in really challenging situations tied, for example, to the border issues that are going on. They've got a lot of great ideas, a wonderful, wonderful think tank. They also were smart enough to buy Bidenomics.com. So if you have any questions about Bidenomics, go to Bidenomics.com, because AFP has really just set the record straight for you over there. So again, AmericansForProsperity.com, wonderful organization, working very hard right now to get the congressional races and the Senate races, because if Donald Trump wins the presidency, Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that's just one leg, right? You got to have the whole kit and caboodle. You got to have the House. You got to have the Senate if you want to get your policies and your ideas forward. So Americans for Prosperity, working on that day and night. You know, Joe Biden had a bit of a blip thanks to Marjorie Taylor Greene at the State of the Union the other night. You probably saw that. You know, she stood up and she was basically calling him out because he wasn't talking about the problem at the border as it relates to violence with all of these illegal, undocumented, as they like to call them. I mean, who the heck cares? They're illegal, okay? They're here illegally. Like, that is the proper use of the word. And by the way, they used to say it all the time. I was looking at some sound this morning from Barack Obama talking about how we can't have 500,000 illegal people crossing into the country every year. Now it's more like 7 or 8 million under Joe Biden. So we have all these people coming in illegally. He does his State of the Union, tries to blame Republicans for the border situation. Good luck with that, Joe. Marjorie calls him out, and he starts to talk about, yeah, you know, I know that Lincoln, he can't even get her name right. Her name is Lakin Riley, was killed by an illegal. And that was that. All of a sudden, then Nancy Pelosi went on television and started calling him out for it, like scolding him like some bad little kid. And now he's doubling down on his apology because he shouldn't have referred to a guy that brutally murdered a young woman as illegal. That you can only say undocumented. I mean, what is this about? Are they trying to distract from the fact that he didn't know her name? And now it's becoming about semantics? This is not going to play in Peoria, as they say. But first, watch Nancy scolding him because he dared to say the word illegal, which is what this illegal person who murdered a young woman actually was.
Making wealthy people pay their fair share.
Dana? Madam Speaker, one of the clearly ad-libbed moments was during the section about immigration. And I'm sure you saw the buttons that your colleagues across the aisle had. And he had one of those buttons. We believe it was given to him by Marjorie Taylor Greene. And when she said something to him during his speech, he responded. I think we have that. Let's listen to it.
I didn't see any Republican buttons.
Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand.
Now, you should have said undocumented, but that's not a big thing, okay? What's the big thing about
that? I actually wasn't even going to ask about that. I was just going to ask more about the moment, but you do think that he should have said undocumented? That wasn't going to be my question.
Well, we usually say undocumented. Uh-huh. He said illegal. I don't think it's a big deal.
Okay.
I don't think it's a big deal.
But more broadly.
Because I think his focus was on the sympathy for the family.
Yeah.
It was a terrible tragedy.
That was going to be the basis of my question about it, which is, as you well know, maybe you didn't know about the buttons, there's been a lot of talk, a lot of news about this young woman who was a student at University of Georgia, and she died and apparently was an undocumented immigrant. And the fact that he was ready with that, with the button, with the response, what do you make of that when it comes to not just the substance, but also the performance?
Well, I think that it was, if that's spontaneous. See, I don't know about the buttons, and you're telling me that they had buttons. I didn't see. I didn't do too much schmoozing with the Republicans before. Usually we do, and we had some conversations, but none of the ones that came over to converse with us had those buttons on, so I didn't see the buttons. So we won't make a thing of the button. The president, I think, handled it very well.
Yeah, and I think
he handled it very well. It's a terrible situation that anybody losing a child or a family member. It's a terrible situation. But I think he handled it well.
It's a terrible situation, which is why you should actually be focused on that, Nancy Pelosi, and not on semantics surrounding whether he said undocumented or illegal. The guy was here illegally, okay? That is the proper use of the word. Anyway, I think they're trying to distract. Because then Joe Biden's doubling down on this. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe that I said illegal. Here he is on, was this MS? Of course it was MSNBC. Of course. He goes on with this reporter. Check it out.
Look of surprise on your face when you walked into the chamber and you saw Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. It was priceless. You feigned shock at seeing her. But during your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Lake and Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. I should have, it's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that his, the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country. The reason our economy is growing, we have to control the border and a more orderly flow, but I don't share his view at all.
So you.
Unbelievable. You know, I just want to remind you, I played this sound last week for you. You can go in last week's live shows. Unbelievable. In the 2020 debate, Joe Biden actually called for a surge at the border. Literally said, I welcome people to surge the border because, you know, this is who we are as America, et cetera, et cetera. So he invited them here. They're now coming here in droves. And you got to say, like, what is this really about? Elon Musk is making an interesting observation saying that it may be about the census. In other words, all of these people are counted for the census. And the more people you have in certain particular districts, well, then the more congressional seats you can have. 320,000 people were flown under the radar of anyone's knowledge. It was the Center for Immigration Studies that discovered this through FOIA requests, et cetera. Now the administration has admitted it. Yes, they flew in 320,000 people to all of these different cities in the dead of the night. People didn't even know. The cities didn't even know. The White House made the decision that somehow they didn't want to tell the cities because there might be too much pushback. I mean, how is that any different than Texas sending people to Martha's Vineyard or to San Francisco or to New York or Chicago? I mean, at least Texas has the decency to tell the cities that they're sending them there. Biden was making a choice to bring them all over the country. I suspect Elon is right on this. If you want to think about it, what is the method to the madness, for goodness sakes? That may indeed be it. So 320,000 people being flown in the dead of the night to all of these various cities. And why? Maybe because it helps them to score more congressional votes. Anyway, they're here illegally. That's the term. They're illegal aliens, right? Donald Trump doesn't have a problem with saying that. He met, by the way, he met with Lake and Riley's family ahead of his appearance there in Georgia over the weekend. And he spoke very passionately about why we need to address this crisis, a crisis that he cited as far back as 2016. Let's watch.
When I say he was an illegal alien, he was an illegal immigrant, he was an illegal migrant, and he shouldn't have been in our country, and he never would have been under the Trump. And Biden should be apologizing for apologizing to this killer.
I mean, you don't need to apologize for that. For goodness sakes, the guy's a murderer. It's crazy. It's heinous to think of that. But now the White House says this is fake news if we say it was an apology. I mean, you saw it, right? He went on there. He's like, you know, I shouldn't have said this. I shouldn't have said this. But they want you to know that wasn't technically an apology. What? Okay, you got to listen to this, guys. This is one of the White House press people, Olivia something, Olivia Dalton, on Air Force One because Biden's out traveling the country in my home state of New Hampshire today. And she was asked about this interview that Biden did with the MSNBC guy. And you're not, I mean, talking about gaslighting people. Here you go.
His interview with Jonathan Capehart, President Biden apologized for calling Lake and Riley's killer an illegal. Does he feel like he needs to apologize to illegal immigrants for calling them what they are, or using the term illegal?
First of all, I want to be really clear about something. The president absolutely did not apologize. There was no apology anywhere in that conversation. He did not apologize. He used a different word. I think what we should be really clear about is the facts. So in addition to the fact that, you know, the president did not apologize, I want to make another thing clear. the president spoke directly to this in the State of the Union address not four nights ago when he spoke passionately about knowing what it means to lose a child and extended his deep grief and condolences to Lake and Riley's family in front of the entire country in the House chamber. And beyond that, I think it's unconscionable that there are some people who are playing politics with this young woman's tragic murder, and particularly at a time when, let's not forget, House Republicans are standing in the way of a bipartisan border security agreement that is the toughest bill we have ever seen in history, and they're doing so because Donald Trump feels that the American people's safety is less important than his personal politics.
So they're trying to manipulate this from here to Sunday. Let's be very frank on that. So that was not an apology that he gave Jonathan Capehart. No. Because we're going to debate semantics all day long, right? Illegal, undocumented. I shouldn't have said this. Not an apology. So a correction? Should we call it a correction? He's correcting himself. Can't call it an apology. The White House is going to get angry. So note to producers, when we put this little clip out, make sure you don't call it an apology because they'll say we're fake news. Can you believe it? I mean, how insane is this? It's gotten so bizarre. Donald Trump has really resonated with people all over the country, by the way, from both parties, because he just has a little common sense. Unlike the people we see in the White House right now, literally no common sense on multiple levels. They want to sit here all day and talk about undocumented versus illegal, whether it's an apology or a correction. You guys can debate these words all day long, but it doesn't change what actually happened. And this is why he's resonating in a spectacular way, which really puts Joe Biden and the Democrats in jeopardy for November of 2024. Of course, don't tell Whoopi Goldberg that, right? Whoopi is sending the message that the mainstream media is sending. I mean, she's really just slugging it out there. Remember what she said about Donald Trump? I want to play you this, and then I want to play something else for you. He just spoke to CNBC a short time ago, and I think he really helped to capture what he really is. But first, understand how they're trying to paint him. Whoopi Goldberg.
I'm going to be on day one. I'm going to be a dictator. Who says it to you, tells you, I'm going to put you people away. I'm going to take all the journalists. I'm going to take all the gay folks. I'm going to move you all around and disappear you. If that's the country you want, you know who to vote for. If that's not the country you want, you have to make a decision.
By the way, it's so beyond crazy. One of the producers on this show, David, just a great guy, he himself is gay. He's been part of the sort of gay alliance for Trump. He was saying, look, I was just at a wedding, a gay wedding in Mar-a-Lago last weekend. Like, Donald Trump has never been anti-gay, despite however Whoopi Goldberg wants to sell it. It's just a flat-out lie. Unbelievable. Oh, and he's going to round up all the journalists. Really pretty crazy stuff, especially given that it seems like the journalists are getting rounded up by Joe Biden's administration. I mean, don't forget what happened to Matt Taibbi. Matt Taibbi, who historically had been a pretty liberal reporter, he wrote politics or covered politics for Rolling Stone. He's out on his own. He managed to get the Twitter files from Elon Musk, which showed how involved the State Department was with censoring stuff on Twitter. I mean, they censored Trump, the Ayatollah, he could tweet all day long, but not Donald Trump. Mm-mm. So Matt was about to testify on Capitol Hill before Congress. And what happened? The IRS showed up at his doorstep at his home. I mean, is that not kind of like a coincidence of sorts? Is that not a pressure technique from the administration to perhaps stifle the voices of journalists? So that Whoopi Goldberg is actually, I think, kind of already, as far as the journalism stuff goes, already happening. I mean, First Amendment, it's out the window. We started by talking about the fire department in New York City. The firefighters can't express their political opinions because Letitia James is not going to have it, for goodness sakes. Well, Donald Trump really explained, I think, pretty well how he thinks about issues. It's what I've said with him from the very beginning. I mean, he's really actually not as left or right as some people would like to make him out to be. He's just kind of a practical guy because he comes from the business community. People in the business community tend to be practical. Here he is on a business network that I worked many years at, CNBC. He went on with Andrew Ross Sorkin this morning and kind of explained who he was, and I thought did a very good job. So let's play it.
Though, given how divided it feels this country is, I want to play you just a piece of tape from Ken Langone, who I believe supported you in the last election, who was on Squawk Box earlier, about a month and a half ago now. And I want to show you what he had to say, because I think it represents a lot of voters out there. And I'm just curious if you would react to it and explain sort of how you feel about it to the voters. Look at this, if you could, for a second.
I worry if Trump wins that it's going to be 4 years of getting even. And that's scary, because we've got serious issues coming up that need to be addressed.
What do you think of that, Mr. President? Because I think that there is a feeling that there is still an anger and a frustration that you have about certain issues.
Well, look, I've never been a fan of Ken. I've never. I don't know if he supported me. Maybe he supported me because I was the only one that he could support, because that's the reason. But I've never been a fan. I've been a fan of Bernie Marcus, a big fan. And Bernie Marcus is a big fan of mine. And that was the side I chose. And frankly, he's right in one sense. People think that there's going to be revenge. And I say, no, the revenge is going to be success. It's not going to be revenge in a revenge stance. It's really going to be success. We're going to turn our country around. We're going to bring sense and common sense. You know, people say you're conservative. I'm not conservative. You know what I am? I'm a man of common sense. And a lot of conservative policies are common sense. We're not going to have open borders. You're going to have to come in legally. We're going to close up the borders. I had the best border. I had the safest border in the history of our country. And it was all he had to do is he could have gone to the beach like he likes doing. He thinks he looks good in a bathing suit. If he would have left everything in place, including the people that were doing it, I had the best border in history. We built 571 miles of wall. I got Mexico to give us massive numbers of free soldiers. Now, there's a case of tariffs. I said, if you don't give us the soldiers, we're going to put a 25% tariff on your cars. They laughed at me when I said I want 28,000 soldiers. And I like, you know, the president of Mexico. I think he's a very good guy. He happens to be a socialist, but you can't have everything. But they laughed at me. I said, I want you to give us 25, 28,000 soldiers on our border to stop the people that are coming in with the caravans. And they laughed at me. I said, that's okay. You don't want to do it, right? Yeah. I'm going to put a 25% tariff on all of your products, including all of the cars that you're selling. You know, they stole. They took, like we were babies, 32% of our car manufacturing business over the last 30 years. 32% is now being made in Mexico and getting bigger all the time. And now, as I told you before, with China going in, building plants there to sell into the United States, I would say to China, if you're building a plant on our border to build cars in Mexico and to sell them into the United States, I'm putting a 50% tariff on all those cars. And you know what? They would stop building their plant in about 2 months. But we don't do that. We have stupid people running our government, to be honest.
Now, I'm just going to tell you, he's absolutely right on that. And one of the things that he did better than anyone I've ever seen is he was willing to use trade vehicles, tariffs, to initiate policies that he wanted to see globally. Why is it that, like, our first choice is to send troops and aid and to fight, right? Why not fight with money, with trade policy and tariffs? I mean, we're the biggest economy in the world. We carry a whole lot of might. So why shouldn't we say, hey, you know, if you want to do that, we're going to charge you a tax. And then guess what? It's not going to be worth your while anymore. We have a ton of power. We hold all the cards. We hold all the cards. And yet no one in Washington is willing to play them or use them. And I think part of the reason, maybe I'm just guessing, because everybody's got some kind of vested interest in something else, someplace else. We have only to go back to look at the Hunter Biden consulting portfolio, right? Burisma, 83K, a month. It really makes you question why we're not doing more things that are so absolutely logical. There is no common sense in Washington, D.C. He put it brilliantly. In other words, revenge is winning. Revenge is succeeding. Revenge is giving back to the people what they rightly deserve. Let's face it, you know what? Inflation's killing everyone. I've been pounding the table on this forever. I look at median incomes under the previous administration with a really good economic team. One of my former co-hosts from CNBC, Larry Kudlow, was part of that team. And they put in smart policies because Donald Trump, as a business person, understood the economy of nothing else. And he made sure that we onshored a whole bunch of capital that was sitting over in places like Ireland. Why? Because companies were like, whoa, the taxes are too high. Let me go do a shotgun marriage over in Ireland and I'll get 12% with this little tiny company over there. So they'd take their capital and they'd move it elsewhere. They'd take their jobs, they'd move them elsewhere. There was no incentive to have it here because there was no common sense approach to economics. Meanwhile, of course, every Tom, Dick, and Harry wanted to be over there in China, wanted to do business in China, cheap stuff in China. And somehow our administration for years had been okay with this. Why? Because I'm assuming the CEOs of these big corporations were lobbying hard enough that it made sense. And so no one's been looking out for the American consumer. And this is what gets me mad. I mean, I feel so passionately about it. It's one of the reasons why I created 76 Research with a very dear friend who has been on Wall Street for many years. He ran billions of dollars there in the funds that he was at. And we had been talking and talking and talking about this. I'm like, who's looking out for everyday investors? Because clearly the administration has its vested interests. Clearly the mainstream media has its vested interests. And clearly Wall Street has its vested interests. My friend, it's Rob Horden. And again, we've known each other for many years and have a very similar, I think, thought approach on all of this. And so we had been discussing this. I mean, I remember at one point, it was like 2020, he wanted to buy Exxon because he's running an energy fund. And he's like, I can't even buy Exxon when it was at a low because of various ESG requirements. Or say you're servicing, you know, some investor that says, well, you know, the U.S. is not ESG friendly enough, so we can't buy treasuries. I mean, nutty stuff. And the reality is this is what Americans are getting handed, right? So if you have your pension fund being run by one of these entities that has all these ridiculous rules, you're not making out as well. Or if you're watching CNBC trying to get stock picks, again, you're not making out as well. Look, I've been there, done that. I know how that all works. And they have only one incentive at the networks, and that's to get ratings. So they're not trying to help you actually invest for the long term in any way, shape, or form, believe me. Nor is effectively Wall Street, nor is the administration. So it's why I created 76 Research, 76research.com. You can get your free guide to independent investing there. You can sign up for the 76 Report. You'll get some stock picks. You'll get a lot of information, perspective analysis, ideas on what's going on from myself and from Rob Horden. And you can also sign up for our model portfolios where you'll have like 10 to 15 stock picks in each of those portfolios. And they're geared for different kinds of investors at different stages. But if nothing else, go check it out. Get the free stuff. 76research.com. Again, 76research.com. I'm super proud of it. Like, I've wanted to do this for so long. You guys have asked me for investing advice over the years. And I'm like, well, let me just make sure that I do this right. And this was the right time. We are completely independent. We have independent ideas, and the whole idea is to help you over the long run. So take charge. Let this be your first step in taking charge. We have so much news today. I mean, this is what happens, right? When you come back from a Monday, you come back from a weekend, and you got all kinds of things going on. I mean, the wokeism is out of control, certainly on Wall Street, certainly in this administration, and even, of course, at the Oscars. Did you watch any of this? Probably not. Probably not, because, you know, who wants to watch the Oscars these days when you just have to be fed this constant political dribble? I was glad to see that Oppenheimer kind of cleaned up, because I thought that was a pretty good movie. But anyway, I want to show you what Jimmy Kimmel had to say about Donald Trump at the start of the big shindig. Again, like, they just can't resist. They got to go here. Take a look.
Guys, make sure we tear up that envelope so there's no confusion with the best picture. Hi, everyone. I was just, this doing this show is not about me, and I appreciate you having me. It's really about you and Emma and all these great actors and actresses and filmmakers. But I was told we have like an extra minute, and I'm really proud of something. I was wondering if I could share it with you. I just got a review, and has there ever been a worse host than Jimmy Kimmel at the Oscars? His opening was that of a less than average person trying too hard to be something which he is not and never can be. Get rid of Kimmel and perhaps replace him with another washed up but cheap ABC talent, George Slopinopoulos. He would make everybody on stage look bigger, stronger, and more glamorous. Blah, blah, blah. Make America great again. Okay, now. See if you can guess which former president just posted that on Truth Social. Anyone? No? Well, thank you, President Trump. Thank you for watching. I'm surprised you're still watching. Isn't it past your jail time?
Okay. Well, they loved it. But, you know, I'll tell you, it just keeps helping Trump. It really does, because people, they don't really watch the Oscars anyway. Maybe they caught some of that. But the more they go after him like this, the more America feels like, whoa, because like, what does America have in common with Hollywood anyway? Hollywood that makes it so abundantly clear over and over and over again that they don't like you. They detest you. They think if you're a Republican, you are the scum of the earth. How dare you want to keep more of your money? How dare you don't believe in the big, giant, gigantic state that Joe Biden wants to put in? I mean, how dare you? How dare you actually not want to take your children to see movies with values that maybe you don't align yourself with? I mean, look, Disney's having this problem. Did you see shirts of Disney? They're still hanging out around $105 and change. This is a company that was trading at $200 and change just 3 years ago. What's happened? I'll tell you what's happened. Over the last 3 years since Joe Biden came into being and everybody felt that, oh, we have to combat Trump. We have to combat the right. We have to go after conservatives. I mean, it's crept into pop culture in ways that nobody first ever anticipated or thought could quite happen. Because, you know, sometimes you'll want a church and state there. You don't want to get inundated with politics when you're watching the Oscars or when you are going to the movie theater with your kids. And yet Disney has done this over and over and over again with all of its releases, which the majority have been total flops. I mean, one after another, they're losing. Nobody can lose $1 billion, right? Like Disney can. And so they had to bring in the old CEO, Bob Iger. You bring him back into town to see if he can fix things. Well, he hasn't been able to fix things, not much, not yet. And so there's an activist investor who tends to be more on the conservative side of things than on the liberal side of things. His name is Nelson Peltz, billionaire. He runs something called Tryon Fund. And he's like, hang on, Disney, what's going on? I mean, you used to be everything and now you're like nothing. And hey, the whole media world is changing. You got to keep up with that from a streaming perspective. Remember, streaming is everything. It's why nobody needs a network anymore. Remind, subscribe, like, hit the bell, share, all those things. But Nelson is like, okay, Disney, it shouldn't be this bad. So he issued today a 133-page report advising people at Disney how to get their act together. And some of those things, I mean, it seems kind of obvious, right? It's like, don't keep doubling down on these big sequels. Come up with some innovative stuff of your own. They don't have anything of their own. They keep going back to the prequels and the sequels because there's no creativity. How can there be creativity when you have to be in this little box that is so perfectly woke and perfectly PC, I mean, you can just take creativity and throw it out the window. So they got no creativity. He's like, hey, get away from these sequels. And by the way, try and do different things. Like, do a bunch of different things. Don't sock all your money into, like, this one movie and bet the whole kit and caboodle on that. Try and experiment. Do a bunch of different kinds of content. I'll tell you, over the weekend, my kids wanted to watch a movie. You know, we put up Apple TV because we stream. We kind of cut the cord, which I encourage you to do. That's a good money-saving thing to do. And we put it up, and we're looking, and I come across Disney. Yeah, is there any, well, you know, I don't know Disney right now, but is there any old Disney or any Disney movie we want to see? And I'm like, it's all going to be Disney. And I thought about that, and this was before Nelson came out with his note today. And it's actually really interesting, because Disney has come to represent sort of one thing only, and they don't really have enough diversity within their content to feed a lot of different audiences. And so Nelson is saying, hey, why don't you try and be more like Netflix? Netflix, which actually has a whole bunch of different stuff. And that's actually what we wound up doing. We went over to Netflix and watched a movie there. But there's diversity of content there, something that Disney doesn't have. And the content it does have is so woke, it's just nauseating. So he's on to something, but Disney doesn't like it. So much so that Bob Iger, he came out swinging today. He's got a spiffy new video. Check out this slick thing. It's like a political commercial. He's warning you, don't side with Nelson Peltz. Nelson wants to get some board seats. He's like, do not do it. Vote Disney. He's got a website and everything. Watch.
What's the harm of letting activist investor Nelson Peltz or Jay Rasulo have a seat on Disney's board? The answer is simple. If they succeed, Disney could suffer the same fate as other great companies that Peltz has previously infiltrated, such as GE and DuPont. Nelson Peltz has a long history of attacking companies to the ultimate detriment of shareholder value. His quest also seems more about vanity than a belief in Disney. Why else would he sell 500,000 Disney shares over the past 6 months in the middle of his proxy fight? Plus, he has no media expertise and no experience in running a global entertainment company powered by creativity.
They said I have no media experience. I don't claim to have any.
And then there's Jay Rasulo, a former Disney employee who was passed over for a promotion nearly a decade ago.
The point is that, you know what? Maybe you don't need any media experience. Maybe this is, again, just a common sense thing. How hard can it be? Produce content that people actually want to watch, Disney. Get your politics out of the way, Disney. And start hiring actually diverse people. Not just because they look diverse, but because they have diverse approaches and diverse mindsets. You see, this leftist extremism has canceled out actual diversity in the name of diversity, right? Okay, we got somebody who's black, we got somebody who's Asian, we got somebody who's trans, or blah, 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 blah. But we don't have anybody that thinks differently. Because if you dare to think like a conservative, off with their heads, right? That's the end of the story. So you have actually a bunch of carbon copy type of ideas and people that have no ability to be creative or be innovative, that are hindered and are scared and are stuck in their wokeism where they all think alike and they can't figure out why it is that the consumers are not responding to their content. So it's pretty simple, and it doesn't take a media expert. Nelson Peltz gets it. I get it. I guarantee you, you get it. I know Don Baca. He gets it. He hates Disney, I'm pretty sure. Right, Don? Yeah. One of our viewers here. Again, if you are not in the live chat, make sure you join us. I will be going to some of your comments momentarily. But the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, we have a wokeism kind of illness in America. It's hurting businesses. It's hurting politics. And it's hurting the American people themselves. Because when you cannot stand up to the influx of people that are coming to us at our border in a reasonable fashion, then you really have problems, serious, serious problems. It is out of control. I mean, I'll just say it's so out of control that you can't even acknowledge the other side in any way, shape, or form. A great example of this is something that just came out over the weekend. It was a clip with Candace Owens and that anchor who used to be over on CNN, whose brother really wound up and continues to be in a whole lot of trouble because he sent people with COVID into nursing homes and then like used his brother at CNN to somehow try and spin it. It was really unseemly. I remember saying at the time, hey, listen, you know what? That is massive conflict of interest. The easy answer is for Chris Cuomo to give up his first 15 minutes of the show, give it up to Erin Burnett, and just let her continue on for 15 minutes, and then you come with all the other stories, Chris, right? Because you can't really report objectively on your own brother, for goodness sakes. He eventually lost his job. Jeff Zucker lost his job. And this guy is such a, in my estimation, total moron who's part of this groupthink that when Candace Owens actually says something like, Vladimir Putin's an intelligent guy, which I agree with, I mean, you don't have to agree with Vladimir Putin to say he's an intelligent guy. Chris Cuomo attacks her. I mean, that's the crazy world we live in. Chris Cuomo was like, how can you say that? How dare you say that? You're so wrong for saying that. And she's like, I'm just making an observation. He's proving his stupidity in this. I'm telling you, it's Candace all day for the win. Let's watch.
You also have to recognize that Tucker just went over and interviewed Vladimir Putin. And this is significant because then you saw what it looks like when somebody not only has the mental faculty, I mean, irrespective of what you thought about the interview, mm-hmm. you cannot, you are forced to acknowledge that he's an incredibly smart person. I mean, he started in the eighth century.
I think that it is not good that you're using Vladimir Putin as some type of positive attribute. Metaphor for a leader.
That's not okay? That's not what I did at all.
Well, you're
just you're, for saying you're, that you, people
you're saying,
have just
well,
seen,
he's smart.
He is smart. So why would you not acknowledge someone smart? What does that do? Does that make me a Putin supporter? Because you're clearly smart.
No,
if you can sit down and unpack Russian history
right,
from the 8th
point?
Century, what do you mean?
What's the point?
Is to say that the entire world can now see this contrast of a man who can't remember what happened 2 hours ago, who mm-hmm. still thinks that his son is alive, sadly, and often brings up his son as if
that's
he's still alive.
True.
What is not true, Chris? Actually say what is not true.
You're really going to say that Joe Biden believes that his son Beau is alive.
He has done that on camera. He has said
he has misspoken as an old man that is talking about something that hurts him.
Listen to you. No, Chris, there's no reason to do. There's no reason to do this. You're doing so great. I'm not going to let you do this to yourself. Seriously. There's no reason to do it. Obviously, Vladimir Putin is intelligent. There's no reason, doesn't make you anything to acknowledge the fact that any person that can for an hour straight unpack the history of their country starting from the 8th century has their mental faculties about them.
Okay.
That is the only
statement
I have made, and I said that contrast is now playing out in the American people's minds of, wow,
yes.
Okay, I don't care what I think about Vladimir Putin or Russia, right? But the fact that they have a leader who can speak in this manner, right, who is able to remember these things and to communicate in this manner makes us aware of how much we are not getting out of our own leaders. That is a very valid point.
Okay, I get it. I hear you. And I completely disagree, okay?
Oh,
because
yeah,
again,
whatever, buddy. You
picking
know what?
A metric
okay,
of
we can bail on this, but you get the point, right? He doesn't want to say that another leader is intelligent. Somehow that's sacrilegious. And then the best part was when Candace said, hey, I'm not going to let you do this to yourself, buddy, because he just dug himself in. He's like, oh, that's not true. It's just an old man who like, oh my gosh, this is exactly why I really question. And what I said at the top of the show, how the heck are they going to run? How are they running Joe Biden for the presidency that is so important that they care so much about? I mean, when this guy, this anchor, is just saying, well, you know, he's a poor old guy. I mean, it's like the Hur report. It's like, we can't prosecute him because he's just a poor old guy. Well, what is a poor old guy doing running our country? Thank you very much. This is our country. These are our lives. This is our future. We can't have that. I'm sorry, but like, you know what? It's over. the ship has sailed, he has jumped the shark, and there's too much important going on in this world. So Candace, way to go, girl. I love it. I love it. And I'm just struck by how dumb some of these anchors are. You know, I'll tell you a little story. I have worked in TV, you know, for many years. I never scripted questions, ever. I never would allow producers to script questions for me. I was bad enough. I had to read the teleprompter, right? I was never good at teases because, you know, I just want to give it all. But I would always write my answers, or I'd go over them with a fine-tooth comb with the producer to make sure they were in tip-top shape. Because they had to come from me, right? They were my words. Well, too often in this business, and especially at some of these networks like CNN or MSNBC, that are being run as producer shops as opposed to talent-driven shops, well, guess what? Somebody else is writing all the copy. The anchor just reads it. And not only is somebody else writing the copy, they're writing the questions. They're writing the questions. So how many times have I been on with some anchor somewhere, and they're literally reading the questions off the prompter? And you may have actually just answered that question, but because they're on automatic pilot and all they know how to do is read that prompter, they just keep going with the exact question of something that you just answered. It happens, dare I say, a lot on the left. And I say that, I mean, I worked at CNBC, I worked at Bloomberg, and I worked at Fox Business. And Fox is actually the only place where I actually saw some deviation from that, where it was much more talent-driven, but it used to drive me crazy at the other places. And I was like, no, I'm not asking these questions. By the way, no, I'm not going to rely on your research. I mean, some of it's okay, you know, we appreciate the help. But if I have some 25-year-old researcher with a very leftist bent writing my questions, how's that going to be any good? Anyway, I'm just telling you, I think Chris Cuomo has had a few too many years of leftist researchers writing his questions, writing his intros, and he hasn't learned to think for himself. Unlike Candace, who, by the way, has come up in the streaming world and is out there thinking for a living, right? Because that's what smart people do. And I'll tell you, as this business changes and changes and changes, you're going to have more smart people saying, this is what I want to do. I want to work for myself. I don't want to work for a network. I don't want other people writing my stuff or trying to get their hands into my questions. And they're right about that. I want to turn to, again, more bad policy with more stupid people. And that would be the latest and greatest out of Joe Biden. Check out how the New York Post is characterizing his new budget. I love this. This is great, you guys. Leave it to the Post, right? Leave it to the Post. They've got a great graphic, and they're like, woo, spending spree with all these dollars floating all around Joe, because that's what it is. He just wants to give away money. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, we are in the middle of an election season. So, of course, it's a spending spree. Why wouldn't it be a spending spree? Can you believe this? I love this. New York Post saying he's got a $5.5 trillion budget with lots of plans for giveaways. It is actually the highest peacetime burden in U.S. history. So we're at peace. We're not at war. And yet he wants to give out all this money every which way you can possibly imagine. And some of the things that really upset me include that he wants a wealth tax, right? Because God forbid you actually get wealthy. If you make more than $400,000 a year, Joe Biden's coming for you. I mean, unless you're smart enough to be able to figure out things like Hunter Biden did, right? Where you just don't declare the income at all. Allegedly. Although I think that's been pretty much confirmed. And then there's other things in there. You know, he wants to give away like $8.5 billion and more food stamps and food cards. And he's clinging to that student loan thing. He's going to have something to campaign on. And then he wants to get people to pay taxes based on whatever value they have in their portfolios. It's called mark-to-market accounting. So, you know, even if you haven't sold any of your stock, if your stock in Disney today is worth $100, even if it's going to go to 50 next year, Joe Biden wants you to pay tax on the $100 that he thinks it's worth right now. He wants a capital gains tax on that, even though you haven't sold the stock. I mean, none of this makes any sense at all. I'm telling you, this is what you call bad economic policy. You know who knows this? None other than Alfredo Ortiz from Job Creators Network, my good friend. I'm so happy to have him on the show today. We sat down just before I came to air with you. Take a look. Alfredo Ortiz, head of Job. Oh, what better day to have Alfredo Ortiz from Job Creators Network with us. I mean, I'm like blown away by this, Alfredo. This just hit a few hours ago. Let's start here. Yeah. On what Biden wants to do with capital gains, because this is bad news for all investors, frankly, in my estimation, and the American economy in general. I'm stunned at the stupidity and the, frankly, what are we becoming? Some kind of communist socialist nation? What's your take?
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. He dropped this on Congress a couple of hours ago, but I mean, this budget for 2025 is absolutely ridiculous. It is much more of what Biden has been doing for 3 years, tax and spend. But this is taken to a whole new level. Military spending, first of all, is actually negative territory when you account for inflation. But spending on, you know, all these other programs, domestic programs, it's up 3-4%. So it's just absolutely ridiculous. So, for example, he's dropping $280 billion on building affordable housing. I mean, look, Trish, we have a housing problem, obviously, in this country, but we just can't keep afford. We can't afford to keep.
Well, it's just going to drive prices up. I mean, it's the same with, you know, they look at college education. They're like, gee, why is there so much inflation in college education today, Alfredo? And it's like, guys, do you think that maybe the government subsidies had anything to do with it? I mean, the same thing will happen, frankly, for housing. Here they are trying to fix for affordable housing. Housing's so expensive. You start adding government subsidies. Guess what? It's going to get really expensive.
It's absolutely true. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, we sued on the whole college loan thing, forgiveness program, went all the Supreme Court. And, you know, we're really happy with the actions that we did there to stop that. But, you know, he's now doing, what, $140 billion after the Supreme Court said you can't do it, after Congress said you couldn't do it. So, again, lawless Biden, there he goes, you know, just spending this money like a drunken sailor. But, you know, I mean, if you really think about it, this loan program, for example, just on college loans, student forgiveness is going to be almost $500 billion, half a trillion dollars, Trish. I mean, if he's spending $280 billion, you know, to build 2 million affordable housing units, I mean, shoot, he could take that half a trillion and build, what, four million. I mean, instead of buying votes from the youth, like what he's doing here, he could actually put it to use if he's going to spend that money, not just kind of forgive it. And to your point, it's not really helping the kids, right? I mean, it's forgiving the loans, but all the colleges are going to do, they keep inflating and inflating and inflating tuition costs.
Oh, yeah, I know.
They're sitting on $700 billion of endowment.
Not to mention, it's very true. Yeah, Harvard, come on, right? But not to mention that they're not teaching young students really anything that they can even use nowadays. And not to mention, not everybody's graduating. I mean, what they're doing to young people with these colleges in terms of, in my estimation, influencing their minds in really, frankly, negative ways that will make it harder for them to earn a living. It's just devastating. But yeah. I want to zero in on something else that is really concerning to me. One, you get a wealth tax in there. And two, he wants to tax unrealized capital gains. Now, just to put this in English for people, think of it like this. You know what? Hey, your house goes up in value. It used to be worth $300,000. Now Zillow tells you it's worth $500,000. Or hey, maybe whatever Letitia James thinks it's worth, right? So, you know, there's some estimate on your house. It's now worth $500,000. What, you're supposed to pay more in taxes to the federal government? They're doing this with the stock market. So if your stock equity that you have in a company, if your portfolio goes up, they're going to say, well, it's worth this much, so now you have to pay tax on it, even though you don't sell the stocks, even though the stocks might be worth zero the next year. I mean, Lehman Brothers comes to mind, right? That was a stock that went to flat out zero. I mean, is he high? What kind of insane plan is this, Alfredo?
Yeah, no, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And to your point, are they going to refund you the money, right, if it drops in value then? Of course not, right? I mean, they are going to spend the money. And so
then why would you invest in stocks?
Yeah, exactly. It's a one-way highway, right? So they're going to increase these taxes. Of course, they're going to spend it. And again, it's just, you know, Biden playing the old tax and spend game here, election year, right? So they basically are buying votes. and saying, oh, look, we're going to go ahead and fund it. And the most ironic thing is, if you look at the 10-year projection on this thing, it's still about $1.7 trillion deficit spending every single year. But then they're claiming that they're actually saving $3 trillion of debt basically over the next 10 years. All they're really doing is that they've actually haven't increased it by the full amount. I think it was an estimate $20 trillion. So now they're only going to spend $17 trillion. So now he's claiming that he's going to save $3 trillion on this budget over the next 10 years.
My gosh.
It's just ridiculous.
No, it is ridiculous. I mean, thankfully, I don't think this will get passed in Congress. But you know what, Alfredo? It actually highlights how important it is right now to make sure you have the right people, not just in the White House, but you got to have the right people in Congress. You got to have the right people in the Senate. You got to have people that are thinking with their heads as opposed to, oh, how many votes can I gather? I mean, I'm sorry, but I think everyday Americans, they're still aspirational. They still want to believe in the American dream. They still know that, hey, they got to put some money in their 401k if they want to have a shot at retirement someday. Right. And they don't want to have to be shelling out taxes every time the stock market goes up when they haven't even sold the stocks.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Tricia. This is actually a really important point that you're making, I think, because, you know, there's a lot of conversation now, of course, with 2024 election, you know, just 8 months away, basically. You know, is it, you know, Trump versus Biden? And quite frankly, who knows if it's really going to be Biden, right? I still have a big question mark on that. But I think it should be something that we're looking at regardless of the person, right? Whether it's Trump versus Biden or Trump versus Obama, whether it's Trump versus, you know, Whitmer, it doesn't really matter, or Newsom. These are failed policies of the Democrat Party at all levels of government, Trish, from, you know, if you think about it, really from city councils to mayors, to governors, to senators, to congressmen, right? To the entire Biden cabinet, all the way up to Biden, right? This is failed policy at every single level of government, right? We know we have actually lived a successful agenda, which is under the Trump administration. And now we've lived a very failed agenda under the Biden administration. And so I don't think it could be ever more clear, but my wish is that it not be talked about as one person versus another person, Trump versus Biden, right?
I know, because it's
really
policy.
Is one agenda of policy that's been successful versus...
Yeah, no, I hear you. That. I mean, look, I'm such a policy nerd. The viewers know that about me. I'm like, I'm probably the only one who like sits around on a Friday night and actually reads the tax policies of every candidate. I can wonk out on this with the best of them. But it's what had me back in 2016 for Trump. I remember saying to colleagues, I worked at Fox at the time, I was like, don't count him out. Don't count him out. Did you see the tax policy? And they're like, what? And I'm like, no, really? Ted Cruz has a VAT tax. I mean, I love Ted, but there was a VAT tax in there. Yeah. And I'm like, it's a hidden thing. Like, this is the purest, best tax policy I've seen from any candidate, like in a long time. And you know, I am a policy nerd. He's got a lot of personality, and I happen to like it. I think he's hysterical. I think he's funny. I think he's super authentic, and I think he's a showman, and he gets it. But a lot of people don't like him, right? So that's like a high beta personality. You love him or you hate him. But again, just going back to your point, like forget about personality for a second. Policy matters, and this was the whole problem with Biden. Yeah. He had, frankly, in my estimation, kind of like no policy. And when he comes up with the policy, it's because he's trying to appeal to his darn base. He's not a leader. He's not taking anybody in a direction. It's like, oh, I stand with Israel. Oh, no, I don't stand with it. You know, now we got to do something for Gaza because my base, Rashida Tlaib and the rest of them are getting the base, the extremists all riled up. And we got an election coming up. Or this, which is just plain old class warfare.
It is. It absolutely is. And, you know, he's making the point, you know, for example, on the tax increases that, you know, the wealthy have to continue paying their fair share. I mean, I'm so sick and tired of hearing that phrase, Trish, because, you know, they're already paying the most of the 1% that they've ever paid as a percentage of total tax.
Well, unless you're a private equity investor. Well, and no offense against those guys. I have a lot of friends that are, but I'm sorry. Like, a lot of them donate big time, frankly, to both parties, right? So they keep their little fat cat tax loophole while everybody else, you make $401,000 and boy, Joe Biden's coming for you. Of course, you know, you're off the hook somehow. Don't get me started on that.
Yeah, no, it's just really ridiculous, and it is class warfare. You know, this thing that he's saying, you know, that, you know, the Tax Cutting Jobs Act actually led to, a decrease basically in tax revenue. Such a falsehood, because what, tax revenues are up, I think, 33%, mm-hmm. You know, since the Tax Cutting Jobs Act. So it's actually helped revenues. I mean, if you go back to the Kennedy years, what did Kennedy say? That the best way to increase tax revenue is to cut the tax rates.
He cut taxes. I know.
I mean,
it doesn't have to be political.
I know, and not at all. And he knew that that was actually the best way to help an entire economy, right? And it's just ridiculous.
So here's the thing. You guys, I talk about you every day on the show. I love what you're doing. I absolutely love it. I mean, you are out there fighting the fight for everyone. And I say this all the time to the viewers, and we have, you know, a lot that write in and are thankful for this. I mean, and you guys, like, we love you, because you at JCN, and I encourage everybody to go to joinjcn.com, because you guys are out there making sure that these issues are being paid attention to. Small business owners, they don't have a big enough voice. I mean, you've got the big companies out there that are spending all this money lobbying, but what you're able to do is really be an advocate for small, of which I am one now too, because I own this show, and I own my own media company, and I feel so passionately, I mean, I always have, but it's more acute now, knowing that we've got to do more to protect small business owners who are the lifeblood of this economy. You guys are out there training them too, which I just think is phenomenal, to be advocates in their community. I know you provide media training. You're looking for new voices right now. So everybody go to JoinJCN, joinjcn.com, Job Creators Network. This is like, you know, frankly, this is nothing against the Chamber of Commerce, but you guys are kind of like that on steroids. You're doing so much more. You don't have the wokeness. You really believe in the policy itself to give more to the people and more to the communities and the individuals that are creating opportunity.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, look, I was a small business owner myself. I had two small businesses. I started in Atlanta. I'm a son of immigrants. I mean, I know what this country can do. I know what, I mean, I'm living proof of it. I mean, I started basically in poverty, growing up in San Diego, education really, and a hardworking mom and the God that I believe in, right, has done amazing things to get me to this point. But I honestly believe, Trisha, this could only be done in this country. And that's why we do have a flow of immigrants coming here, right? I don't see many immigrants leaving. You know, they're coming here because they just believe in that American dream. I mean, you know, we are kind of a little concerned, obviously, on the border security, but we won't talk about border right now.
No, but by the way, for small business owners, it's a big issue too. You know,
it's a crime issue. I mean, and this is a real issue. I mean, it's right in front of their doorsteps. And, you know, Target can close a few stores in San Francisco, and Walmart can do the same. And it's not going to really hurt their business, right, overall. Mm-hmm. If you have a one, you know, mom and pop storefront anywhere, right, and you have crime issues and you have to close your store, that's it. You've lost your entire dream, your life savings. And this is a real, real issue that's impacting everyone. I mean, in New York, for example, I mean, it is really, this issue is on steroids in New York. You know, unfortunately, you know, for those businesses that couldn't leave, they're closing up. Some of them have actually escaped, and they're moving to, you know, Tennessee, to Florida, to Georgia. But for those businesses that can't escape this, I mean, that's it. I mean, they're done.
It's terrible. It's terrible. And something has to be done. There's just so much to talk to you about. I look forward to having you back very, very soon. Great day to have you here. Alfredo Ortiz, make sure everybody go to joinjcn.com. There's so many resources there for you. These guys are fighting the good fight. Thank you so much, Alfredo.
Thanks, Trish.
They're fighting a fight. And listen, I'm just saying, this is a fight that has to be had right now, because you look at this crazy stuff that the president is coming out for with his new budget and calling for all these higher taxes. He was up in Manchester, New Hampshire today. He's trying to tell us he's a capitalist. He told us he was a capitalist at the State of the Union the other night. And now he's saying again, because you see, any moron could tell you that the policies he's putting forward are hardly capitalist. No, these are totally socialist in nature. He's got a big socialist rooting there with what he's trying to push forward. So, you know, he's trying to say, I'm not, I'm really not. Listen to him.
And now
It's my goal to cut the federal debt even more by making big corporations and the very wealthy begin to pay their fair share. I'm not an anti-corporation. I represent the state of Delaware. More corporations incorporated in Delaware than every other state in America combined. But guess what? But I'm a capitalist, man. Make all the money you want. Just begin to pay your fair share in taxes. You may remember the big fight I had not long ago and the reason why I was able to cut the deficit already by $7 billion in the first year. And that was because we found out that we wanted to make sure that there were 50 corporations that made $40 billion in 2021. Didn't pay a penny in taxes. I did an awful thing. I convinced us all to raise it to 15%. Isn't that awful? And it paid for everything that we've done so far and still cut the deficit. Look, a fair tax code is how we invest in things that make this country great, from health care, education, defense, and so much more, research, development.
I can't believe he says this with a straight face. Oh, I'm a capitalist. Make all the money you want. Just make sure you pay your fair share. Unless, of course, you're Hunter Biden. They don't pay anything. Come on. Like, I'm sorry. This pay your fair share business, it's really exhausting because I've told you this before, but all his buddies in the private equity industry that give all this money to his campaign, they don't have to pay their fair share. Nope. They get away with treating their income as though it were capital gains. I mean, would this change under the new budget proposal that's going to go after capital gains? I don't know about that. I went through the whole thing and I didn't see any mention of the private equity tax loophole. But he's trying to sit there with a straight face and say, I'm a capitalist. Just pay your fair share. Well, what is your fair share? Do you think it's really fair to charge American corporations so much more than they would be charged anywhere else in the world? I mean, you got to have that little equilibrium, right? Like, that Art Laffer talked about so brilliantly, the Laffer curve that he drew on the napkin for Ronald Reagan. I love Art. He's a dear friend, has been a great mentor over the years because I just value his view on the economy so, so much. We got to get him back on the show. But anyway, Art would say, look, at some point, you reach that threshold where companies don't want to be in business. And guess what? They've found a better place to go, and that would be Ireland. Thank you very much. So let's forget having them go overseas. Let's keep them here. Let's incentivize all the American corporations to be here. And let's disincentivize the Chinese corporations from making cheap, cheap stuff in, say, Mexico, as the former president was talking about on CNBC this morning, by putting tariffs on them. I mean, it's, again, not that hard. But Joe Biden is rigging the game so that ultimately it comes back to hurt you. Right? I mean, if you're the family and you got like a firefighter and a teacher, or I don't know, like if you manage to make $400,000 with two people working, he wants to treat you like he's going to treat the billionaires, the millionaires. I'm sorry, this is not the American spirit that we all love, ladies and gentlemen. It's just not. And he's not a capitalist. No, he's a socialist, right out of Obama's team. I mean, Obama's a socialist too. Remember the, you didn't build that business? That's exactly who these people are. And they think that they can redistribute your wealth. Because maybe you made a decision to go to vocational school and become an electrician, and maybe you built a heck of an electrician's business, or you became a plumber. You're doing real work, okay? And you build a heck of a business, but somehow it's your responsibility to pay for the kid that wants to go and do gender studies at some Timbuktu university from which they're never going to graduate from, but they're going to have a party for as many years as they can off of your hard work? I don't think so. That is not America. And so he's going to sit there and try and redistribute your hard-earned dollars. A friend of mine was saying just the other day he wants to sue the federal government because of the 320,000 migrants that were flown into the U.S., into different cities all over the country with his taxpaying dollars. In other words, this is our money. We should have some say over it. And his policies will do everything to decimate what we have or have been able, miraculously in spite of him, to maybe grow. It's his policies that landed us with the inflation of 18%. It's his policies that have mortgages up 66%. Well, him and Jerome Powell and Chuck Schumer and, you know, some members of Congress as well, because they all just think you can keep on spending. I'll tell you, even the OMB is coming out and saying that this is not really sound. It is going to add to our deficit. He says, oh, you know, we're going to reduce our deficit. No, that's not what's happening. You can't print money. Argentina, tell you this. All right, Malay's like out there trying to warn everybody at Davos. They're like, oh my gosh, who's this guy? You can't print money. And you know what, this wealth tax, I'll tell you what, we'll look at France, see how well that worked out for France. Remember they tried that wealth tax business? And what did everybody do? They left the country. Of course, Joe put in something, or the Democrats at some point, or somebody put in something under some administration that makes it really hard to check out of America. Because if you want to check out, they take 50% of everything you own. I'd like to know how they value it as well. Like, is that Letitia James who comes in and says, I think this is worth this and this is worth that? Unbelievable stuff. Listen, I don't think it's going to get to first base, but it gives you an insight, a window into how these people really think. And this is why it's so critical right now at this time that we all kind of pull together and we do what we need to do to make sure that we help preserve the greatness that is America. It's incredibly important. And you know what? A lot of Americans, they keep coming back to one guy because they think this guy, actually, I mean, look, he's willing to take a lot of bullets. Let's face it. 91 indictment counts against him, right? This guy who showed up at UFC last night with his buddy Dana White, that would be the former president of the United States, Donald Trump. Take a look here. This is just something to see. He's walking into the UFC arena there in Miami. And I think we have this video, Drew, right? And he's just getting this huge applause. Everybody's really, really excited because Donald Trump, they're back at UFC. We've seen him now. He keeps going to these events, which is interesting because it's a very fascinating sort of cross-section of American culture. So many different kinds of people really are there. Take a look at this, you guys. You got a lot of athletes in the house. He's talking to the athletes. He's talking to the Nick Bosa, who's the defensive lineman for the 49ers there. And I think Bongino was there. We all love Bongino. Just a terrific guy. Our friend Benny Johnson, who's been on the program. Great channel that Ben, he was there. A whole bunch of people. Jared and Ivanka were there last night. So an interesting cross-section. Again, I say, you think about, think about martial arts fighting. I mean, you've got Elon and Mark Zuckerberg talking about going at it, right? You have people that I know sort of in the legal community or engineering community that love it. And then you have everyday folks that are not from those communities that love it. So it really kind of spans a lot of America. Now, I'll be honest, I don't really love it. You know. But this is your opera girl here, right? Like, I would rather be at the opera than at an Ultimate Fighting Championship. But, you know, that's me. But people do love it. I mean, all kinds of people love it. And what's interesting is that he is loved. He loves it too. But he is loved when he goes to these events. He gets a huge reception. And let's see, do we have David's tweet? Brokeback Patriot tweeting today that, you know, whose team are you on? He pointed out that it was Nick Bosa or Kelsey, Travis Kelsey and Taylor Swift, which implies, of course, Joe Biden. Whose team are you picking? And this is a lot of what people are saying today on social media. It's kind of gone viral. It's lighting up. Everybody's like, okay, whose team are you on? And you're on the Nick Bosa and the Trump side, or you're on the Taylor Swift and Biden side. That's sort of the rap right now. Whether or not that holds, we'll see. But I do think, you know, he's just been able to tap into something that very few politicians have ever been able to tap into. extraordinarily gifted in that sense. Thank you for all your compliments. I'm looking at some of them online. I want to just give a quick shout out to a wonderful new sponsor on this show, Balance of Nature. I have been taking this. I've been taking this now for the last several months because, you know, I test everything before I would ever bring it to you. And I feel great. Like, I really do. I feel absolutely terrific. And I take my fruits and veggies now every day. These capsules that were created some 20 years ago by Balance of Nature. They have tons and tons. You should go to the website because the guy who started this, the doctor who started this, is really pretty compelling and interesting. And the start of the company is just a fascinating story, which you can see at balanceofnature.com. I do think you should check it out. I take the fruits and veggies, which is really good for me because I'm not the best at eating my fruits. I can do the veggies, but like I don't have much of a sweet tooth. So even fruits, I'm like, if I'm going to eat a sweet, I'd prefer the piece of chocolate cake. Thank you very much. And so I know I'm missing out. I know I've been missing out for years. And I got to say, like, I really haven't this religiously taken vitamins since I was probably a kid. And my mom would give me the Flintstone vitamin. So I love this stuff. I really do. I love it. It's easy to take. It's gluten-free, has no crazy additives. Go check it out on their website. And if you're interested in doing this, I got to tell you guys, you know I'm always working discounts because I care so much about you saving money, especially in these inflationary times. We have 35% off, 1-800-246-8751 if you want to call them and talk about it. The discount code is my first name, Trish, 35% off, plus I just scored an extra 10 bucks off for you and free shipping. So all with that discount code Trish, T-R-I-S-H. So if you're interested in getting healthy and staying healthy and feeling good, I encourage you to check out balanceofnature.com. Call them 1-800-246-8751 and sign up today. Okay, so here's an off-the-beaten-track story, but one that's kind of just been something I've been watching in the peripheral. You know, like I'm obsessed with politics and economics, and I don't do a ton of entertainment. But occasionally there are these stories out there that sort of surprise me. And this one is certainly one. That would be Kate Middleton. I mean, what on earth is going on with Kate Middleton? Like, I mean, it's sort of nuts because, look, I credit her for telling the British press that she was going in to have surgery and that she'd had surgery, which was better than our defense secretary, Lloyd Austin, did. Thank you very much. But she told them, she's like, look, I'm going in, I'm having this surgery. And then she gets stuck in the hospital for a much longer period than we thought. And it was sort of like, well, why? Like, it was supposed to be a simple procedure. What exactly happened? And no one's entirely sure. If you look at your screen, you're looking at a picture of her that her husband took. And it's her and her kids. And she actually pulled this picture. Well, first of all, let me just say it's a really good thing to see her because people were like, it was becoming a mystery. Like, where is she? The palace did come out and say that it was not tied to cancer. Of course, her father-in-law, we learned, has prostate cancer. They said it's not tied to cancer. But that's sort of all they said. Just, we appreciate that you respect her privacy. And she said, we appreciate that you respect my privacy right now. And that was that. So, of course, there's all these kinds of crazy rumors going on. So in my spare time, I've been like, And you think about, like, what could it possibly be? I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of reasons why you could be in the hospital for a stomach issue that have nothing to do with cancer. I do actually take her word on that. Look, the palace has a lot of spin, of course, but I don't think that they'd come out and actually say it's not cancer related if in fact it was. So, you know, there's people that are like, oh, she have a tummy tuck. And I don't think it's that either. There are people that wonder if it was a gastrointestinal issue or perhaps other things in endometriosis. There's a zillion things it could be. I mean, we shouldn't really speculate, I guess, in honor of her privacy, but it is odd, and I'm glad to see her. But what was weird about this particular picture that she put up was that she had to take it down. She actually issued kind of a retraction. They don't always do that. And she apologized for it, saying, you know, like, I was experimenting with editing. I'm an amateur photographer. And there was just this weird thing where you see her hand, and then you see, I guess, part of her daughter's plaid skirt. I don't even know what that is. I guess that's it. And so then they took the photo down because it had been edited in kind of a weird way that she missed. She must have done something with the shapes. I don't know. I don't know. But I guess I was just happy to see that she's out and about, sort of. She was pictured with her mom in a car recently, and her mom was driving. She was in the passenger seat. She had sunglasses on. And so then people were like, oh my gosh, is she okay? I'm going to just say this. I love her. Like, I don't know her. I don't watch much of her. Like, it's really not something that consumes me. I'm not into the royals, but I think she's a pretty amazing woman. And that whole job is just going to stink. Like, that's my perspective on it. And like, you can't get out. It's not like politics, right? You sign up for something and like, you're there for life. Unless, of course, you want to pull up Meghan Markle, and she got out, but she was never going to be in. For real, let's be honest. I mean, the whole problem, I believe, with Meghan Markle is that, one, she didn't know what she was signing up for. And two, once she got there and she realized that she was second fiddle to Kate Middleton, who, by the way, is just stunningly gorgeous and so poised. I've seen some videos of her and it's like, oh my gosh, her posture is perfect. That's hard. That's hard to do. Like, I know I'm sitting here and like my posture half the time is like this, but you know, you got to really keep yourself up and together. And she's always got this like lilting smile, no RBS for Kate Middleton. It's actually kind of amazing. Like, the camera's on and she's just, woo, delivering all the time. But apparently, like, she wanted this like her whole life. Her mom talked to her about it when she was little, and she went to the particular school she went to because she knew her future husband to be. I mean, it was a little bit creepy, but I think on the positive side, she totally knew what she was getting into. And she welcomed what she was getting into, and she was okay with her family for generations being into this. Whereas Meghan Markle, on the other hand, was the two-bit actress from Hollywood. I'm sorry, but it was like a B-rated show, and I think she's a totally terrible actress. I've listened to her podcast. And, ugh, like, it's like really bad and melodramatic, and, you know... If the Democrats were honest, they'd say that, you know, Meghan was giving Katie Britt a run for her money. Nothing against Katie. I think that the odds were stacked against her. We watched that live, and I was this poor woman, like, you could just feel the pressure. There's no way to, like, bounce any of that pressure off of a live audience or maybe go to a soundbite. You know, you feel her breath getting nervous. Anyway, Meghan Markle is an actress. Like, she's not a politician. So she ought to be able to do a better job on her podcast. She couldn't. It was so contrived. It was awful. And then you think about how she just kind of fell into this, starts dating Harry, somehow really manipulates him. And the next thing you know, he's breaking up with his family and everything is, oh, woe is me, woe is me. They have articles about her on, I love this publication, it's the Daily Mail. I call the story all the time. And they'll have some article about Meghan Markle. I'm like, who cares? Like, it's exhausting. I can't take the whining anymore. Like, I just can't take it from somebody who has every advantage in the world. Like, enough. Okay, fine. You want out of the palace. Like, I can actually empathize with that. I mean, he's the younger brother. He's the spare. He's never going to have, like, what his brother has and what Kate has. So go do your own thing. All right, fine. But don't try to make a living out of trashing your family every 2 seconds. It's really, really distasteful. And especially with Meghan Markle by your side, who's just always, oh, woe is me, woe is me. It's too much. And so I hope Kate is okay. I hope she's all right. I mean, it's obvious she's got 3 young kids and she's a mom, and she does a really good job at what she does. She surely does. I also think that, and I don't watch The Crown. I should, right? Some of you guys do. I think that having been through what he went through with Diana and his mom, he probably was reluctant to go down a path of a marriage that didn't have love, right? Like, I mean, even if she was sort of scheming from the beginning to land him, I think he had to know that she was the right one. So I wish them all the best. I really do. I hope she's okay. And we, I guess, won't show that picture again because she's retracted it. But I do wish her the very, very best. And I wish all of us the best, right? I just want to go out quickly to some of your comments here. Some of you have signed up for 76 Research, and I cannot tell you how excited I am about that. And I have a feeling you're going to be really, really excited by it too, because there's a lot of good ideas from an investing perspective in there. And you need ideas, and you need honest ideas. You need ideas that are not cluttered by all the politics, shall we say, of Wall Street, of the networks, and of institutions that believe they have all of the answers, right? So many of you are on 76 Research. I love that. I've seen so many sign up for the 76 report, and many of you as well for the model portfolios. And that's really exciting. I'm just pulling up your live stream so I can see all of these comments here in real time. It's an important thing right now. I mean, you got to think about yourself and your future in light of what the clowns in Washington, D.C. are trying to do. Ross, welcome. Dennis, welcome. Lesko, welcome. And it's interesting what you're saying about your grandmother and table manners. Kate Middleton definitely, I guarantee you, has probably the best table manners of anyone. Really neat to see. And yeah, I don't know. You guys are interested in the Royals. Who knew? I didn't think that was your cup of tea, but you know, you are like me. I think, you know, it's just like in the back of my mind, and like I'm looking at all the other stories, and then I see that, and I'm like, whoa. Anyway, Tim, welcome. Absolutely welcome. Dennis, welcome. Ross, good to see you right now. Melissa, I didn't watch all of The Crown. I really didn't watch The Crown. I did see some of the very initial episodes. I should be at least disclosing that with the Elizabeth, and I really liked her. And then they changed the Elizabeth out on us. And I'm like, what is this? Anyway, I'm going to give you 76 Research right here in your chats. So you can go and check that out at your leisure, of course. Don, you must be happy that we covered Disney today. And it's great to see you guys. Yes. Yeah. You know, very, very good to see all of you. Greg, thank you. Oh my gosh. Yes, that's a very, very sad story indeed. Again, if you're listening to this, the podcast on Apple Podcasts, thank you for doing that. Make sure you go over and check it out on the YouTube channel or on Rumble. We do have a live conversation, a live chat going on with all the viewers there on Rumble. Mike Costa, good to see you as well today. Look, there's a lot of interesting things going on right now. I'll tell you, more than anything, we need to make sure we get the right policies in place to ensure ourselves a better future ahead. Better future for ourselves, better future for our kids, a peaceful future at that. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to continue the conversation live right here tomorrow. Make sure you subscribe, you like, you share, and you hit that bell. See you then.